God is good. It's good to come together today. It's just marvelous out here. I all the work that goes into this is daunting. People working yesterday, people working all week, the planning, all of the effort that goes into this, and it's, you know, I've said this a couple times this week. Because of all that, I hate Easter. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you get here and you look around and you see what God has done in creation. You look around and you see what God has done in our church. And God is good. It's good to be together. It's good to come together as God's people, as Shelley said, under one roof. It's a great roof to be under. And this is my favorite place to be, just together with you in worship. The other thing that's nice about being out here is I think it's harder for you to fall asleep during the message. Our theme for today is awake. And it's an interesting theme when we talk about resurrection, the idea of being awake. Resurrection really is epitomized for us in that whole concept of being awake. And in the Bible, sleep is used as a metaphor. For us, it's an example to us, and it may be one of the most important regular cyclical rhythmic patterns of life that teaches us both about how to live and how to die. Sleep is good. When we grow up as adults, you know, it's one of those things you look forward to. I just can't wait to go to sleep, and that's kind of a funny thing. Two things we're going to look at today with the metaphor of sleep. And the first one is this. The metaphor of sleep is used in the Bible to speak about death and to teach us about death. In one of the most famous Bible stories, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus refers to Lazarus as being asleep, even though they'd already had his funeral. And he says this, he says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples don't get it. And so this is a classic, one of the best statements in all of the Bible. And as in Bible style, it's kind of guarded. It's hard to see kind of the sarcasm and the funny part of it. But after Jesus says that, the disciples said to him, "Well then, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." You know, and what they're saying is, well, just let him sleep then. When he wakes up, you'll be fine. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." The resurrection of Jesus is God's solution to our dying. We will all die, every one of us. But God will wake us up. He will give life to our mortal bodies once again. And that's the hope and the promise of the resurrection. And here's how the picture of sleep helps us with our preparation for resurrection. And I'm saying it that way on purpose because sometimes we talk about preparing to die. And as Christians, we really need to think about preparing for resurrection. And death is a part of that, but we're really looking for resurrection. That's the end. That's the goal. The psalmist says it this way, one of my favorite verses, Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me." The rhythm and pattern of sleep prepares me for resurrection. When you go to sleep, you anticipate waking up. When you go to sleep, you don't fixate on sleeping. Otherwise, you'll have a hard time falling asleep. When you go to sleep, you prepare for the day which is ahead. Adults, as opposed to children, crave sleeping. But if you've got kids, and if you remember back, you can even remember your own childhood, kids seem to understand the weirdness of sleep better than we do. And so they fight it. They fear it. They don't want to go through it because there's unknown things in sleep. And I don't know if I'm going to wake up. And the last dream I had really spooked me. And I don't want to go there again. And they struggle then to stay awake. They fight against sleeping. And partially it's an issue of control. And partially it's an issue of fear. But as adults, we have a measure of faith when we go to sleep. And what we need to do as adults is make sure that that faith is in the right thing. And that's where the psalm comes in. I think our faith is misplaced sometimes when we go to sleep, and we don't practice faith when we go to sleep. We trust ourselves. I'm going to sleep and I'm going to wake up in the morning. It happens every day. And I take credit for it. But that's not what the psalm says. I laid down and I woke up because the Lord sustains me. No one knows that they will wake up when they go to sleep. I'm not trying to ruin your sleep tonight. But no one knows that. You don't know that. And the regularity or the faithfulness of God in waking me every day is a pillar of your faith journey. And you don't want to miss it. Day after day, we wake up. The great hymn of our faith, "Great is thy faithfulness," is based on a verse from Lamentations that goes like this. I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, and his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. The Jeremiah who wrote Lamentations, I am certain, had Psalm 3:5 in mind when he wrote that. The loving kindnesses, the faithfulness of God is new every morning, because every morning is a reminder that God is the one who sustained me through the night, and God is the one who woke me up this morning. It is a resurrection verse. Great is your faithfulness. So the principle of sleeping and waking is preparation. Every morning that I wake up, I'm reminded of the faithfulness of God. The loving kindness of God is rooted in my breathing and in my life. Someone told me this week that they encountered someone, and the man told them, "What has God ever done for me?" When I heard that question, it shocks me. Because what God has done for you is given you breath. And because we ventured away from this very simple principle of faith, that I went to bed and I woke up because God woke me up, then we start looking for blessings elsewhere instead of that regular, simple pattern of faith. Every morning is a message from God. I am the author of life. I give life. I give it freely. It comes from me. Every morning, that faithful message, when you rise up, needs to be affirmed in your heart. That is the basis and foundation of the resurrection and belief in the resurrection, is that God is the giver of life. That's why Abraham was able to take his son Isaac and even give up his life, even in obedience to God's crazy command, raise his knife up to kill him, because he knew that God was the one who gave life, and I will obey him. And I will follow him. Every morning, the message from God is, I am the giver of life. I woke you up this morning. I sustained you through the night. And this is the foundation for our preparation for resurrection. It kind of reminds me of the little children's verse, right, that we taught our kids when they went to sleep. Some of you may have, some of you may have not, but you know it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now that little phrase has multiple versions. I wasn't aware of this. There's all kinds of versions. Some go like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, his love to guard me through the night and wake me in the morning's light. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Thy angels watch me through the night and keep me safe till morning's light. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, bless me, Lord, my soul to take. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. Multiple versions, but probably the earliest version of this little poem goes like this. And I think it's great. When I lay me down to sleep, I recommend myself to his care. When I awake, I give myself to his direction. That's a great prayer. That's a great rhythmic prayer of life that's rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. So maybe we've grown up too much when it comes to sleep. Maybe we should revisit our childish view of sleeping and waking. The resurrection helps me prepare for death by reminding me of the faithfulness of God who gave me life in the first place. We make this too hard. This principle of life is the foundation of the universe. And without it, there's no meaning and there's no purpose. And with it, we see the hand of God in every part of creation. Someone said that resurrection, or Easter, is the eighth day of creation. God gave me life. God loves life. God will give me more life. This is the resurrection story. So at Christian funerals, when you go, you should practice this sleep theology. And no matter what else is said, this should be said. He will rise. She will rise. He will not sleep forever. God will raise her up. He is risen. Secondly, the metaphor for sleep is used of the manner in which we live our lives. It's not just about dying. It's not just about preparation for the future. It's about how we live our daily lives. Resurrection theology has to do with here and now, every day. So Jesus said this before he talked about Lazarus sleeping. He said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." So the idea of resurrection not only has value in preparing us to die well and with faith, it frames how we should live our lives. And there are multiple verses in the scriptures about this principle. And I just want to read you one from the book of Ephesians. It says this: "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness or the deeds of sleep, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." The Bible warns us that we shouldn't sleepwalk through life. And sleepwalking through life is ignoring God in your daily life. That's sleepwalking. You're asleep, and the Bible says, wake up. Wake up and walk with God. The resurrection is about hope and purpose and newness and vitality in life. The resurrection wants to bring life into your days, the life that God created for you. So is your life a mess? Today's a new day. If your life is a mess, today's a resurrection day, because God is faithful and his compassions never fail. And so you can have hope that today begins fresh and new. That's the other beauty of resurrection day, is newness. So wake up. If your life's a mess, wake up and decide today, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to do it his way. Apparently my way is not working so well. So I'm going to work his way. Is your life just blah? Today's a new day. God is faithful. His compassions never fail. Every day you can start again. Every day. So be alert. Be sober. Live according to the principles of the day. Is your life filled with the deeds of darkness? What are you doing that you're ashamed of? What are you doing that makes you feel unworthy, dirty, unclean, wicked, worthless? Today's a new day. Put those things behind you. You don't have to be dominated by addiction and by sin or destructive habits or caustic relationships. Today's a new day. Live in the day. Wake up. Follow Christ. Are your relationships falling apart? Resurrection life calls you to wake up. Accept one another. See the life that God has blessed you with. And honor those who are a part of your lives that he's brought into your life. Resurrection calls us to forgive, to empower, to honor, and to love one another. Today's a new day. Are you awake? Or are you sleeping? God wants us to be awake. And he gives us principles to live by so that we can be awake. So the rhythm of sleeping and waking should frame our living. And at the end of every day, we should evaluate our living. And as we lay our heads on our pillows, we should practice the faith of entrusting ourselves to the Lord's keeping. My life is in your hands. You've given it to me. I trust you. I submit to you. I lay my head down tonight. And I trust you with my life. Submit to his will for your life every night. Dedicate yourself to his care every night. Give up control every night. And give him the power in your life every night. As we rise in the morning, we should begin with the gratitude of a heart blessed with life. I remember the words of one of our own who's passed, and he said this every time I asked him how he was. Every day's a good day. It's good to be alive today. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. Don't let that slip through the fingers of your life today. Don't let bitterness ruin your day today. Don't let negativity ruin your day today. Remember the blessing of God just in your breath today. It's the resurrection of Jesus that reminds us of the beauty of life. As we rise in the morning, we should dedicate our lives to following the shepherd. A couple of psalms. As for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you've been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you. For God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. The morning, every morning, should remind us of the resurrection. There's a saying in the church that every Sunday is Easter. It's not quite right. The appropriate saying is, we celebrate Easter every day. Every day is a resurrection celebration. because the resurrection solves my death problem. It solves the problem that I have, that we all have, that we will face death. And because he lives, I will live. The resurrection solves my living problem. He teaches me how to live, and he gives me the power to live and to overcome all of the obstacles of a death-stained life and world. The resurrection of Jesus is what connects us to the very love of God, which is demonstrated so poignantly in the cross of Christ. If you have never decided to follow Jesus Christ, today is a new day. Today is a day to follow Jesus. With your whole heart, with your whole strength, with your whole mind, all you have to do is ask. He will change you. He promises the Spirit to whoever asks him. And if you have the Spirit, Christ is in you, and he has made you alive. You can start new today. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's someone sitting near you who knows what you need to do next. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, there's someone around you right now, someone who's been walking with Jesus and who knows Jesus. And they can share with you what Jesus has done for them and how he's transformed their life. And if you've never experienced that, I would encourage you, before you leave, to find that person that's sitting around you and just say, what's it like to live for Jesus? What's it like to follow Jesus? What do I need to do next? And I will guarantee you that person can walk you down that path and lead you to the Savior, because they've been walking with them too. If that's something you want in your life, tell someone who's sitting around you before you go today. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them how Jesus changed them and help them. Ask them what you need to do next, and they will tell you. If you find someone who isn't sure, the two of you find somebody else. Because it won't take long. And that person will be able to tell you all about Jesus. Someone who knows Jesus, someone who knows the power of the resurrection of Jesus, someone who lays their head down on their pillow every night and says, Lord, you've been faithful to me today. Great is your faithfulness. And someone who wakes up in the morning and says, I will follow you today. Thank you for the life you've given me. It's a new day today, and every day is a good day. As we've said, this is our 90th anniversary as a church. And as we think about our church, we also need to live by resurrection principles. God will continue to give this church life as we preach Christ crucified and risen from the dead. The risen Jesus stood before his disciples and gave what is known now to us as the Great Commission. And it's the Great Commission because it should overwhelm us and supersede every other purpose that we have as a church. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, because I'm risen from the dead. I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you, the one who raised him from the dead, we bow before you today in worship and adoration and praise, because you have demonstrated your power over all things. You, the creator of the universe, created on this eighth day a resurrected Jesus who becomes for us now the model of resurrection for our own lives. I pray to Lord today that each of us would go back to our childhood perspective about sleep and raising up. Give us a tenacity and a love for the life that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to grab a hold of it with all that we have. Help us, Lord, to live resurrection life during the day. Help us, Lord, to live resurrection life as we sleep. Help us, Lord, to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him in all that we do, in our rising and in our sleeping. May you overwhelm us. May your Spirit just wash over us, bless us, and control us so that we might live our lives to the glory of God. We thank you for Jesus and for the resurrection. And we thank you for raising him from the dead so that we might have and experience newness of life and life everlasting. And we pray this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.